So before I was a film critic, I worked in television. I was a producer at Maryland Public Television, and before then I was a production assistant. Now to explain what that is, you have to understand that television is one of the few employment opportunities that still run on a medieval apprenticeship type scale, in that if I was working in a blacksmith shop, I would be the orphan boy who was fanning the coals all day, okay? So I'm a glorified gopher. So in December of 2000, TNT called and said they needed production assistance for a Christmas special at the Building Museum in Washington, D.C. for 5 days, and was I interested? And I said, sure. So I showed up, and I walk right in, and they're getting the place ready. They got to make a set in this place, and it's amazing. They've got, the centerpiece of it is this 30-foot tree with all these garlands and baubles, and there's lights in the ceiling, and it's, I mean, like, if Liberace have seen it, he would have been like, that's a bit much, you know, like, that. This is what we're talking about. So I go to the producer, and I say, what do you need? And he said, they need me to fulfill the celebrity's demands from their rider, which is a list of things that their manager gives of items that they need to feel comfortable. Like, for example, Pierce Brosnan. He needed black Bic lighters, okay? But you can't buy just the black lighter. So I had to go buy the four-pack and then throw away the red and the yellow and the, and here, Remington Steele, here's your black lighter. You look very cool, you know? So, or, you know, the other thing, everybody's got a dressing room and they've got a buffet in there. So I'm with the caterer and I'm loading in trays of fancy cheeses and melon cubes and cold cuts and flowers and everything. And it's too much for anyone to eat. I mean, like, you'd have to be like, you know, Michael Phelps times 20, you know, to make a dent in this thing. And like, after practice, not before. And nobody, and like, Sarah Michelle Gellar, like, she didn't even eat it, you know? Like, she just wanted a bowl of vegetable soup, which I don't blame her. Like, I think maybe that was her idea of an easy request. You know, the kind with the little square potato white cubes, you know. But it would be easy if I had a hot plate and a can of Campbell's, but I don't. I'm in downtown D.C. There's no supermarkets around here. So, I mean, I spent an hour, a frantic hour, running around trying to find a restaurant. Who serves that kind of vegetable soup anymore? I finally found one in Chinatown, of all places. And I gave a tour, and I got it in my hands, and I'm thinking, oh, maybe I'll get to see her or something. But, you know, a producer, like, steps in and says, thank you, we'll take it from here. And, you know, they scoop it away. They really want to keep the hierarchy. You know, you are not to associate with these people. There's a real, these are important people, you know. But there were a few places in which I could run in contact with them, and that's how I can say with authority that Jessica Simpson sings when she's sitting on the toilet. So, it's like, because I was two stalls away. I was two stalls away. And I'm not talking like a, like, la la la, like, I'm like a full-throated, like, American Idol. Amazing Grace! Like, that kind of thing, you know. So finally the show goes on, and it's beautiful. You know, Chuck Berry played. That was very cool to see him play live. I think Bill and Hillary Clinton were there. You know, everybody applauded. They taped it, and hooray, and the VIPs went home. And then we have to clean up afterwards. So they always feed us. That's the one nice thing about being a production assistant. But this time, somebody had gotten about 12 chafing dishes of burritos. Like, you know, there's tortillas and carne asada and guacamole and Spanish rice. I mean, and it's just sitting there steaming away because these people don't have time to construct a burrito, let alone consume one. So the producer, in like this fit of altruism, you know, it was the holidays, he says, don't throw this away. Take it to a homeless shelter. So I volunteered because I wanted to go home. And So I'm looking in the phone book and I make a few calls, and then I find that there's a battered women's shelter that will take it. So I load everything up into my Mazda Protege, and, you know, I'm driving, I look at my directions, and I'm driving, and, you know, I'm driving, I'm realizing, like, this is in the middle of a really bad neighborhood. And I'm from Baltimore, so when I say somewhere is a bad neighborhood, I know what I'm talking about. So I pull up to this place, and this very frightening security guard lets me in. And we're walking up the stairs, and as I notice that this must have been a school at some point because it's got those big boulevard staircases, and it's still got the bulletin boards on the wall, except instead of signs that say, like, you know, please don't run and brush your teeth, it's like, these are the warning signs of herpes and, you know, whatever. So I'm walking in, and we come to the office of this place, and it's I realize it used to be the principal's office. But it's the middle of the night, so this is very weird for me. So, but she says, wait right here, and you need to sign something. So I'm waiting, and I see at the next table over, there's another worker, and she's talking to a woman who has come into the shelter. And this woman's back is to me, and she's wearing, like, kind of this greasy, you know, windbreaker, and she's got this hat pulled low. And I can see under her arm, under her sleeve, she's got a cast on her arm, But it's not a new cast. It's kind of old and fraying, so it's not what happened tonight, you know. So, and I must have just been standing there and maybe did like a, you know, accidentally. And this woman turned and looked at me. And the whites of her eyes were purple. And I was just so stunned. I just stood there and finally I some like wellspring of decency came up in me and I said, "Hi." And she just stared at me. And then finally she said, "Hi." And I realized that whatever had happened to her in life, she was now on a 5-second delay. The world wasn't getting to her brain fast enough. And so the woman came back and said, "Okay, we got, you know, let's bring these downstairs." And I'm just like so embarrassed. You know, I'm carrying these steam trays full of burritos and stuff that we didn't want to eat. And I just, you know, I sign the papers and I go home. And I'm driving in my car back to Baltimore and I just kept thinking about how all week everybody wanted me to do things that were very important. It's very important that Pierce Brosnan gets his black lighter and it's very important that you get this vegetable soup. And really none of these things were important. You know, the thing that was important was that this woman had a place to go and she had something to eat in the morning. And I thought about this sign that was the sign that was on the videographer's locker and it said, "This is the entertainment industry. If you don't do your job right, the worst thing that'll happen is that someone won't be entertained." And I just thought about that all the way home. Thank you.